Hey everybody, it's James Lindsay. You're listening to New Discourses Bullets, where I give a short bullet point-like summary of a single topic from Woke that we all need to understand so that we can defeat it. I want to talk about positive Christianity today. So, I don't know if you've heard of this, I recently did an episode of the New Discourses podcast, which is my long-form podcast, part of my Nazi experiment series. It is labeled Volume 12 in the Nazi experiment series. Talking about positive Christianity, reading from a positive Christianity source from the Nazi era. And I just kind of want to summarize what the idea is here. And I will repeat the idea that I think that the Christian nationalist movement that we're seeing here in the United States, and even to some degree in European countries, is something like the positive Christianity movement of the Nazis, though it's not identical. So positive Christianity, historically, is a theological take. There are two kind of broad, big picture ways to look at Christian belief. So you have a Jesus who lived and did things and then died. And when he died was, so the Christian belief goes, resurrected. And there are kind of two ways to look at this situation. There is the Jesus who lived and did things. That's theologically speaking, positive Christianity. And then there is the Jesus who died and by dying redeemed us for our sins, and or from our sins, I should say. And that is seen as something called negative Christianity, that we're going to focus on grace as a kind of as the key part of the Christian story, which is not a thing that Jesus is like actively doing in the Gospels, as opposed to focusing actively on the life of Jesus. Now, the Nazis did not represent this theology accurately, but this was a theological debate that had been going back for a long time, but even in Germany for at least a century in pretty significant degrees. At the time, by the way, when the Nazis took power in 1933, Germany was split. It was almost all Christian, first of all, but it was split about 2-1 Protestant to Catholic. So you had about 66-67% Protestants and about 32-34% Catholics. However, the numbers work out, a little bit less than 1% Jews, a little bit less than 1% other. And so it was overwhelmingly a 2-1 split. And positive Christianity was meant to be this kind of weird fill-in. So in 1920, the Nazi Party formed and wrote its 25 points, its 25 pillars, what its objectives were, which it said were never going to change. And in point number 24, they were very clear that religious life in the Reich under the Nazi belief would be positive Christianity. They did not say what positive Christianity meant. It is pretty firmly historically guessed that they didn't know what positive Christianity meant, but they were not going to focus on beliefs about grace and that the negative Christianity theological side of the argument. And that might be because that is a place where you have conflict between the Catholics and the Protestants. So they have different beliefs about what all of that represents. So by focusing on the lives and works of Jesus and positive Christianity, they could sidestep that massive religious difference. Okay, now by 1930, the guy who goes on to be Hitler's chief Nazi ideologist named Alfred Rosenberg writes in his books that he started to develop the idea of a different take on positive Christianity. So 10 years later, they start to fill in the details. 1920, they say that positive Christianity is going to be the religious orientation of the Reich. There's every reason to believe that they were placating Christians who had every reason to be suspicious and skeptical of the Nazi program, which was enormously, by the way, evolutionary based. It was a eugenicist program. It's all based on weird natural order of things and the competition and survival of the fittest narratives. It is not based on something like Christianity. And so the guess is that that was inserted in 1920 largely to placate Christians. And for a decade, it did not have a great deal of content until Alfred Rosenberg, who's Hitler's chief ideologist, who's going to lay out what the Nazi ideology really is about and develop it, if you want to use this word, philosophically, starts to fill in the gaps. And he starts to tell a new story about what positive Christianity is going to represent. And he explains this new story as not just focusing on the life and works of Jesus, but and writing in that Jesus was actually primarily best to be understood as an anti-Jewish kind of warrior figure who might even have European or Aryan blood of some kind that had come into the region. And his main job was to take on rabbinical or pre-rabbinical, I guess it would be more like legalistic, pharisaical, and the Sadducees, Judaism, legalistic Judaism. So Jesus gets positioned now in the positive Christianity sense as an anti-Jewish warrior in Palestine in the beginning of the first century. And he gets kind of a full-blown mythology built up around him. But the point that actually Rosenberg was trying to develop was, and this is the key of what positive Christianity is about and why it's relevant to talk about now, is that it was not actually Christian belief. And it doesn't matter all the weird heretical things that they wrote and all the ways that they downplayed. They denied Jesus' Jewish lineage, for example. They suggested that he was some kind of actually Aryan, perhaps from even Nordic roots that had somehow made his way into the Middle East, different stories. But the point was actually to create what I described in the longer podcast as a bridge faith. A bridge faith is, or you could think of it like a ferry boat if you don't like a bridge. The idea is that you have two shores. On one side, people believe in Christianity, whether Protestant or Catholic. On the other side, they're supposed to believe in Nazism. So you have two ideologies, and then you have a way to get across. Okay, and so you can think of it as a bridge. That's why I called it a bridge faith, or you could think of it like a ferry boat. They get on the boat. That boat or that bridge is positive Christianity. So the goal was actually to get people who were Christian, to get German Christians, whether Catholic or Protestant, to start to imbibe Nazi ideology and eventually to start to believe that a new revelation was being given by the Führer, by Adolf Hitler. And this was meant to be done slowly over time. So you bring them in, that's getting them on the boat or on the bridge. The goal is to slowly pervert and twist and replace their Christian beliefs with Nazi beliefs and have them come out on the other side as Nazis. So positive Christianity was never a real faith. It is not an expression of Christianity. It's not even really a Christian heresy. It is more like a political project posing as a theological project. And the political project was to move German Christians, whether Protestant or Catholic, away from genuine Christianity and onto Nazism. And so it was a not just a intermediate kind of belief structure between Nazism and Christianity, but it was in fact a kind of moving target. It was like a boat, like it, you know, or if you think of it as different positions on the bridge, you come in and it sounds very Christian on the front end, and it's going to sound very Nazi on the back end as they slowly replace one belief after the other. So this is the positive Christianity movement, which I've called Germany's or Nazi Germany's Christian nationalist movement. And that parallel should be actually explained. And to be fair, the truth is that the Christian nationalist movement in the United States, despite clear undertones that resonate with literally the Third Reich's positive Christianity, the denial of Jesus's Jewish heritage, the anti-Semitism written through, and some other points. Despite all that, and despite, you know, some obvious Nazi and fascist undertones of the destination movement, I don't believe here is primarily Nazism. Nazism's woven in, but the destination faith is this neo-integralism that we're all facing. Now, integralism is a Catholic political doctrine, which I might say is a Catholic political doctrine posing as a theological doctrine, where it asserts that because the Catholic Church is in charge of men's souls, it has a responsibility to men's souls, it should also therefore order society. And so that the church and the state, together with the economy subsidiary to the church and state fusion, the church and the state should be reintegrated, hence integralism. This is the big project that's happening. And what we have to understand about neo-integralism is it's not purely Catholic. There are Protestant versions. They call it sometimes Protestant integralism. They've called it at other times ecumenical integralism, meaning that it spans across all the Christian faiths. And so the idea is actually to have a church-state merger that is the Christian Nationalist Project, whether it's being done from the kind of Deus Vult, Timu Catholic hardliners, the so-called trad caths, or whether it's being done from these theobro, mostly kind of twisted within the Reformed tradition, lots of Presbyterians as it works out, kind of hardline Christian nationalist guys. And they are still wanting to integrate church and state and to make the economy a slave to that integrated church-state fusion. That is neo-integralism. They are willing to work together to achieve this. And it has some of these fascist undertones and some of these Nazi undertones woven in, but that's not the goal. The goal is to bring about a transition from genuine Protestant or Catholic Christianity, as it's been practiced, especially in America, and to give them a bridge or a ferry that transports them into this neo-integralist position, which, again, is a political doctrine posing as a theological doctrine, and an anti-American one at that. The American ethos is that we will be able to read the scripture for ourselves, and we're going to be able to engage in worship and belief for ourselves without the interference of the state. So the church and the state shall not become intertwined, and they certainly won't control the economy for us, for what's sometimes called the common good. And so this neo-integralist project, I believe, is the destination. Christian nationalism is the at least Protestant expression of this movement. And this movement is our modern parallel to the positive Christianity movement of the Nazis. Now, it's up to you guys that are actually more theologically grounded to look, whether you're Catholic or whether you're Protestant, doesn't matter. You do see, by the way, the attempted fusionism of Catholic and Protestant doctrine among these more radical right-wing guys. But it's up to you to start figuring out which specific doctrines they're rewriting, which ones they're misinterpreting, which ones they're perverting, and how they might use that to take good Bible-believing Christians, good, solid American Catholics, or again, European context too, and to move them into a transitional political project that will result in them coming out in a political faith on the other side. And I'm suggesting that that faith is neo-integralist. So I encourage you all to look at which, if you're theologically grounded or biblically grounded, I encourage you to look at which doctrines are being challenged, which doctrines are being twisted, and what tools are being used. We're seeing a lot of those tools have something to do with the Jews, whether or not, you know, it's right or wrong to be Zionist. We're seeing other doctrines too that are going to be better for you guys that are more theologically minded to address. So anyway, the positive Christianity movement was a bridge faith that was created by the Nazi ideologists. At first, its job was to placate German Christians so they wouldn't object to the rising Nazi movement. Then about a decade later, it gets filled in with content. The point of that content was to slowly pull apart genuine Christian belief and replace it with Nazi belief. And the goal in the end was to transition people from genuine Christian belief to full Nazi belief that actually rejects Christianity. The Christian nationalist movement we're dealing with today does something similar. The destination is different. The mechanisms are somewhat different. The heresies are somewhat less blatant and in some cases comical as we look back. But I think the mechanism is largely the same. And so it's worth taking your own time to investigate Alfred Rosenberg and the positive Christianity movement. I encourage you to go listen to my podcast that I did about this, the Nazi Experiment Volume 12 on the New Discourses podcast series, to hear more about it. Look it up for yourself. And I encourage you to look into the way that theology is being abused so that you can understand it in these terms for this particular set of movements.